Have you ever been really thirsty? Like deep, deep down thirsty? About 5 years ago, I started to develop a deep thirst. And I'd been sick for a little while, and I was on medication. I thought the medication was what was making me feel thirsty. But everything I drank, nothing really seemed to help. Nothing quenched that thirst. And so I became more and more desperate, and I found myself in the early hours of the morning leaving the house and going down to the petrol station to buy something to drink. I tried everything. I would down 2 liters of Coke or 2 liters of lemon twist, and nothing seemed to help this thirst. I was also lethargic and lacking energy, so I would drink an Energade or a Lucozade. I tried those weird aloe drinks that you can only find at Chinese restaurants. And some things quenched the thirst just for a moment. I felt better for a second, but then the thirst would come back much, much worse than before, and it was deeper and deeper than before. And eventually I did something out of desperation, something a man only does when he has no other choice. I went to the doctor after about 3 weeks of this. And the doctor heard what I had to say, and he looked at me, and he took about 30 seconds to diagnose me. And just to make sure, he took a little blood reading, and he showed me the meter, and the meter just said, high. And I didn't understand what that meant, so I said to him, I don't know what you're saying. He said to me very plainly, you have diabetes. And every time that you drink and you take in more and more sugar, you're making the problem worse and worse and worse. And your sugar levels the sugar in your blood is increasing, and you're becoming more and more dehydrated. And so I got sent straight off to the hospital and started to understand what it means that my pancreas wasn't producing enough insulin to take the sugar and turn it into energy like a healthy pancreas does. And instead, I was just compounding the problem. Even though my flesh was screaming out, I need more to drink, I need sugar, I need this stuff. Thankfully, 5 years down the line, I'm healthy, I'm managing my condition with exercise and a little bit of medication, but I still remember that unbearable thirst. We're in a series leading up to Easter where we're examining the final words of Jesus. And now we look at one of his final words after being on the cross for 6 hours, right towards the end, before he died. And the words that Jesus spoke are these, from John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst, I thirst. Why did Jesus say these words, I thirst? Or in some other versions, I am thirsty. At first, it may seem like a little bit of a throwaway statement. Obviously, he was thirsty. He'd been out there all day, whatever we might want to think of that. But we need to take it very seriously, especially because it comes in John's gospel. And John is extremely deliberate in everything that he includes in his gospel. He says these things that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing in him, have life in his name. So everything that John includes is very, very important and poignant. So let's consider these words of Jesus from the cross and ask why he said them. Why did Jesus say, I thirst? Well, firstly, I think this is a reminder to us of Jesus' humanity, that Jesus was on the cross still truly man. And so the physical agony and pain of the cross, he suffered that as any human being would. The cross was an abominable cruelty designed to cause maximum pain. But for Jesus, the torture actually began before that. You remember that he was abused and tortured through the night, his beard being pulled out and him being mocked and beaten, and then endured the 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails, which was designed as, again, to rip flesh off the torso of a person. And many would have died during these 39 lashes, a death sentence. 40 lashes was considered a death sentence, so the fact that Jesus survived that would have taken an enormous toll on him physically. Then he was forced to carry the cross on his own shoulders out of Jerusalem and up the steep hill to Golgotha. He fell and he was relieved of this burden for part of the journey. But once at the top of the hill, he would be nailed to the cross and the true torment would begin. It's interesting to note, by the way, that before Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was offered a drink. The Bible, the English translations usually say it was wine mixed with gall. And this was offered to him by the soldiers as some kind of a narcotic, some kind of a drug that would dull his senses. And most people would have taken that willingly because they would, hopefully, their minds would be switched off to some of the pain. But Jesus refuses this for two reasons. Firstly, because he's already promised his disciples, I will not take of the fruit of the vine again until I'm with you in glory. But then secondly, he says, secondly, because he chose to be completely conscious for everything that he would suffer on the cross. His mind needed to be sharp. And so he tastes it and then declines it. But there is a second offer. If you read a little bit further in John 19, after he says these words, I thirst, someone from the crowd goes and fetches a piece of hyssop and adds a sponge to it, and they dip it in what the English translations call wine vinegar, a different thing altogether, which was not there to make him drunk, to make him dull his senses, but to quench his thirst. And this Jesus takes, and he drinks deeply, and then speaks his final words from the cross, which Jan will talk about on Friday. But the point being this, that Jesus was completely human in all of his suffering. And you can imagine the toll on his body, that after 6 hours on the cross, dehydrated and broken and beaten, he spoke out these words, I thirst. Well, of course he did. But secondly, and John, he reminds us that this was all said to fulfill Scripture. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Many Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled on that dark day. But Jesus' words, I thirst, connect with a couple very specifically. His words and the actions that follow are fulfillment of the Psalm 22, which we alluded to a couple of weeks ago as well, where it says there, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And then in Psalm 69, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Those two obviously are very specifically fulfilled in what happens in that moment. But there are others too, not only in the Psalms, in other parts of the Old Testament. Perhaps Jesus is alluding to the thirst of the Israelites when they come out in the wilderness and they cry out to Moses. Their first complaint once they're out of Egypt and in the wilderness is, we thirst, we thirst. And if you read Exodus 17, they're really questioning, where is God when we thirst this way? And God instructs Moses, take your staff, and he cracks open the rock, you'll remember, and these streams of life-giving water begin to flow. Perhaps that's something that Jesus is alluding to. And there's many other passages of Scripture that he may be alluding to in all of this, and we don't have time to get into that. But when we see how even a tiny little detail like this is included and how prophecy is fulfilled in what happens to Jesus on the cross, it fills us up with faith. God was not surprised by what happened on the cross. This had been his mission from the beginning. So it was a reminder of his humanity, it was a fulfillment of prophecy, but then thirdly, it was an expression of deep agony. More than just physical agony that Jesus Christ was going through in his humanity, but there was a deep spiritual agony as well. As he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the guilt of all, the guilt and shame of all humanity was laid upon his shoulders in that moment, and the wrath of God poured out upon him. And in that moment, he was forsaken by the Father. As Jan spoke about a couple of weeks ago, we sometimes feel forsaken by our Heavenly Father. We're not, though. It's just that we feel that way sometimes. For Jesus, it was his reality. He was forsaken. The psalmist writes of his own experience of spiritual thirst in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul longs for you. Maybe you felt that, where you've longed for God, you've longed for a touch from him, for a word from him, an encounter with the Lord so deeply. And Jesus felt that only a million times more. Separated from the Father for the first time, broken and forsaken, he thirsted. He thirsted. Of course he did. We cannot, in our broken and sin-soaked minds, understand and comprehend the depth of agony and thirst that he experienced on the cross. And fourthly, it was a completion of his ministry. We're told that Jesus uttered these words knowing that all things were now finished. His mission was completed. The sacrifice had now been made. The sinless one had now become sin. The giver of life had now tasted death. And the stream of life-giving water had now become thirsty. So John helps us earlier in his gospel to identify Jesus as the living water. The first time he speaks of this is in John chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a woman at a well. You might remember the story. She's a woman who's got a dodgy past. And she's a woman who has a thirst. And Jesus identifies in her there is a thirst. Not just a physical thirst for water, but there is a deep spiritual thirst in this woman. And she has tried to quench this thirst with various things. One of the things that she tried to quench her thirst with was men. And Jesus points out to you, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So she tried to fill that void in her life, that deep thirst, with something of the earth, relationships with men. But Jesus speaks these words to her. It's incredible. He says, whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is offering her something that will deeply satisfy her, something that she's been longing for all her life. Later on, Jesus says it again, identifies himself as living water in John chapter 7. And this time he's speaking in Jerusalem at a gathering of a number of folks just coming in and listening to him, some out of interest, some trying to find criticism against him. But he loudly announces this to everybody. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Some of the other translations say, rivers of living water will flow from their belly. So not only does Jesus deeply satisfy the spiritual thirst that each one of us has, but if we drink deeply from him, out of us, we become conduits of this living water to a thirsty world. He wants to satisfy our thirst and then use us to satisfy the thirst of others. It's an incredible thing. But what we need to understand, though, is that it cost Jesus everything. For him to be this living water to us meant that he had to be emptied, completely emptied, to the point where on the cross, right at the end, he says, I who am the living water, I who satisfy everyone else, I who am your deepest longing and desire, I'm now empty. I thirst. The living water became thirsty for you. I wonder, wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening in, I wonder if you're thirsty. Perhaps, if you're like me, this time in lockdown has made you acutely aware of how thirsty you are and how your flesh cries out for the things of this earth to satisfy that thirst. Maybe you recognize what some of the things are that you've tried to use to satisfy your thirst. Maybe it is things like food or drink or alcohol or some other substance. Perhaps you thirst for human interaction and human affirmation, or for exercise, or for the freedom to do whatever you want, the freedom of an open road. Could it be maybe that you thirst for entertainment, or you long for the endorphin release that you get from looking at a screen? Maybe your thirst is driven by work or by money or busyness, or the rat race itself. And as these things have been taken away from you, you become aware of how thirsty you are. And I want to tell you that there is nothing in this world that will satisfy that thirst, because it is a spiritual thirst. One of the lessons that I've learned from my diabetes is that sometimes my flesh lies to me. I recognize now that I'm learning to live with this disease and how to managing it well, I recognize that when I start craving things like chocolate or Coke, it's probably the worst time for me to go and have a chocolate or a Coke, because my flesh is lying to me. It's telling me this is what's going to quench your thirst or quench your hunger, but it's not. It's only going to make it worse. I've learned to recognize the false signals in my body. And I think spiritually, we do the same thing. Our flesh, the Bible calls that unspiritual part of us, our flesh cries out for attention. And when we feel alone or we feel anxious or we feel needy or we feel unloved, our flesh screams out to us, you need to do this. You need to watch this. You need to go there. You need to be this. That's what's going to satisfy you. And so we immediately go and we fill our flesh. We feed it with the things of this earth. And then we're confused where moments later we feel even more thirsty than before. And I pray, my prayer has been that if God hasn't spoken to you already about this, that by His Holy Spirit, He will speak to you about this and show you the things in your life that you turn to satisfy that thirst. And I pray that God makes you even thirstier, that you will recognize the futility of turning to the things of this earth, even if they sort of seem like good things. Unless it's Jesus Christ Himself, your thirst will never be satisfied. He alone is the living water. Only Christ alone satisfies. So again, I don't know where you're watching this or when you're even watching this. But if you don't yet know Jesus Christ as Lord, and you recognize already that you've tried to satisfy the deep longing and thirst, He alone is your hope. He alone is the one that's going to satisfy you deeply. Not only satisfy you, but outwardly that rivers of living water will flow out of you as well, and that you become a blessing to others. Stop trying to fill that void with something else. You need Christ, and you need Christ alone. And again, we as a church would love to help you wherever possible to make that connection with Jesus. Send us a WhatsApp, send us an email. Get in touch with us over Facebook. We'll get to you. We'll pray with you. We'll talk you through it. But then also to those of you who've already made a connection with Jesus Christ, remember not to forget that He is the living water. Because there is still this part of you, the old man, which needs to be put to death more than once, which emerges and keeps coming up and crying out for attention and crying out to be satisfied. Remember, the things of this earth will not satisfy. One story in closing. I have a very stupid dog. I have two dogs. One who is incredibly intelligent and a boxer who is really, really stupid. He's lovely, but he's dumb. That's a fact. And every morning, we put out clean water for our dogs. A bowl of absolutely fresh, life-giving water. And around the corner from that, though, we have an old sort of neglected water feature. And this water feature, there's algae starting to grow in the water feature and flies starting to you know, buzz around the place. And I would not go near that water if I can avoid it. But you know what this dog of ours does? His favorite thing in the world is to drink out of the water feature. He has this perfect living water, which he neglects, and he goes and he drinks out of the water feature day after day after day. It sometimes makes him sick. It sometimes makes him throw up, but he'll keep going back to the water feature again and again and again. We do that sometimes as believers. We have the stream of living water available to us, but we choose the things of this earth. Though we know it's not good for us and it doesn't satisfy, yet we choose them again and again and again. Church, choose the stream of living water. He alone will satisfy. You will never thirst again. Keep coming back to Him to be satisfied. Make sure that the words that He spoke from the cross, His thirst, was not wasted on folks who will continue to choose the things of this world over Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to pray for every single person listening to this message. Father, that You will reveal Yourself, Jesus Christ, as the stream of living water. We thank You, Jesus, that You were emptied out for us on the cross, that You became sin for us on the cross, so that we might have life and life abundantly. Jesus, we confess that we choose the things of this world to try and satisfy that thirst. We confess it and we repent of that. Show us, Lord, especially now that you really have our attention. Show us how to come to you to have our thirst quenched every single day in your presence. To the point where we overflow and those streams of life now flow out of us to be a blessing to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. So now may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.